The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
So, found out that when you walk into a room with baked goods, you're not allowed to say no. And so when you have that much sweet stuff, you have to wash it down with more coffee. So I may get through this material real fast. All right, so I had to do this because we got to free up our hands. We're going to talk in a little bit, but first, you got to stand up. And if you're holding a baby, you are excused from some of what we're about to do. But you should stand up anyway. And everybody else will want to have some room to stretch out. Wait. Yeah. That's the right one. You can hit the clear all. So that's what's coming. Those of you who have older kids that come on Wednesday nights, this is one of the songs that we are learning there. But first, I need you to watch me and do what I do. So first part, go, therefore everyone, all right, so good point, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine, because it's a song and we repeat things. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Like a wise man. You can kind of give somebody the stink eye. It's like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And then there may or may not be, okay, there is. There's a part where we just jump around and we go a little crazy. And then there's more. It says the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall all. So my friend Jeff wrote this. He's from the South, and fall can be a two-syllable word. Fall all, because it had its foundation on the rock, and you had to give it a good fist bump. All right, we're going to try this. So here we go, Julie. You know it. You'll catch on as we go. There's also Legos.
Matthew 7:24.
Good job. Cool. Have a seat. So, you just learned the Bible. Kids love this stuff. So, anyway, you should always introduce yourself to new people by dancing together. Now that we got to dance for a little bit, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. My name is John Gardner. I'm the worship pastor here at Faith Bible Church, which just means that I get to do cool things like singing and dancing with kids on Wednesday nights and working with a team of awesome musicians on Sunday mornings. But I've been asked to speak to you this morning about, I'm catching my breath now, about some of the benefits of using music in your homes and some ways to introduce your preschoolers to music. Which is awesome because it's one of my favorite things to talk about because I've seen it work in so many different ways. Before I went into full-time ministry, I actually worked as a music therapist specializing in working with little kids. And so the year that I spent driving around to every public school, preschool classroom in three counties in Middle Tennessee was super fun. I got to do a lot of music with preschoolers and learned a lot myself doing that, but also I think even more importantly is that I'm a dad who has three kids who were once preschoolers and are now all schoolers. But I've seen through all of it just that with all the differences between kids in my home and in all those different schools, the one thing that every child had in common was the fact that in some way, music was able to reach them in ways that often other things cannot. So I thought first we'd just talk about a couple of big benefits to singing and doing music with your kiddos. First off, it's fun. Seriously, this is one of the most fun things that you can do with your children. They love it. You're going to love seeing smiles on their face. It's a good opportunity for bonding with your kids, even the difficult ones. And it's also cool that they don't care at all how well you sing. There's a lot of studies that show that the most comforting thing to a young child is its mother's voice, because they heard it for 9 months and they want to hear it more. And even those of you who didn't carry your children in your womb, they love to hear your voice, and it's something that they are able to bond over. And they love your voice more than any voice you could find on the radio, I promise you. Second, big benefit, there's just a lot of developmental benefits to using music, particularly when you can combine music and movement. You're helping the little brains and bodies learn so much, so fast. So for instance, when your baby's laying there on the changing table and you start singing and moving their arms and legs, not only is that a great bonding moment, but you're teaching them how to associate sound with direction. You're helping them improve their balance while developing gross motor skills. And particularly if you take their arms and your legs and you cross the midline, you're helping a lot of different neurons fire that connect the left and right sides of the brain, which is super important. It's really cool. One of my favorite parts of getting a degree in music and psychology was I got to take a class called Psychology of Music, where we spent a whole semester just studying the effects of music on the brain, and particularly on brains in early development. And we studied all kinds of brain scans where they show people doing different kinds of activities. So they'll say, here's a brain scan of somebody doing math. Here's a brain scan of somebody reading. Here's a brain scan of somebody participating in some sort of athletic event. And in each of these, you see different regions in the brain lighting up on these scans. But then they do these scans of people who are listening to music, or even better, actively engaged in creating music. And those scans just light up like a Christmas tree. You see that especially in the pre-K years. So think about it. You do something as simple as learning a song that's in a book. You sit down together, you learn the song, and then you sing the song and you dance, and maybe you tap out a rhythm on a drum or on the floor or the table. Just doing that one little activity, you've engaged the areas of the brain that are associated with reading, with listening, with speaking, with memory, with creative thinking, with curiosity, with gross and fine motor movements, with balance, with socialization, and even those parts of the brain that aren't engaging in cognitive function, but are more part of the kind of basic instincts. You might have heard it, the pleasure centers of the brain. Those light up too. It's just something that creates joy, and that is a lot of brain activity going on all at once, and that is super cool. Really good for your kids. But as great as all these external benefits are, it's important to understand that music also has intrinsic value. We don't just do music because of the non-musical benefits that you get. We do music because music itself is worthy of our time and of our attention. It has beauty that can help point us to our Creator. Helping our children learn to understand and appreciate the beauty of good music is one of the greatest things we can do for them. And so I'm hoping there's time at the end to maybe talk a little bit more about that. That could be its own talk, probably. But another great benefit of doing music with your kids is that music is a great mnemonic device. It's something that helps us to learn and to remember things. There's probably no greater tool to help anyone, children or adults, learn and remember information than to sing it. That's why every company out there hires jingle writers to write a song that in 10 seconds or less will help you think of their business instead of their competitors. Who can get the catchiest song to give you an earworm, and when you need somebody to come back in your house, you sing their phone number or whatever. It's the same reason that the Bible tells us so often to sing. We are commanded to sing to God, to sing about God, to sing to one another, to remind ourselves of who he is, what he's like, what he has done, and to sing to one another to help teach the content of our faith. The The Holy Spirit knew this when he was inspiring the writers of Scripture. And so we see over 400 times the Bible says, you should sing. It is what we are commanded to do more than any other command in Scripture. And that's why, for instance, we place such a high emphasis in our children's ministry here, particularly in Discovery on Wednesday nights, which is for kids starting in kindergarten and older. We spend a lot of time teaching them Scripture songs, like the one we sang a few moments ago, and also songs that teach about what we believe, because we know that they will remember it, and that no matter how good the preaching is, and we are blessed with great preaching in this church, but practically speaking, most people develop their theology more through the songs that they sing, because it's what they remember the best. And so that's why the songs that we sing are really important. So those are just a few of the benefits that music holds for your kids. I could go on with more, but instead I thought it would be helpful to address some common misconceptions about using music in your home. So first, it doesn't have to be hard. Does it take effort to engage your kids with music? Sure, but it's worth it. And when we're done, I hope you see that it's something that you can do. No matter what your circumstances are, you can do this. Two, you don't have to be a musician to use music in your home effectively. Absolutely anyone can do this. You may think that you can't play an instrument, but God has given each of us an instrument that I think is the greatest instrument, and we all carry it around with us everywhere we go and use it all the time. That's your voice. And so it doesn't matter if you don't play piano or guitar or violin or anything else. If you do, those are great. But you don't have to be able to do that. Plus, today, the internet has given us so many tools and resources that are at our fingertips that generations ago they would have never thought possible. And we're living in a really exciting time. And so you're going to get some resources today that will help you to use some of those things at home. Here's another big misconception that I want to correct, and that is, if your kids don't end up loving music, you are not a failure. I do think that every human does possess a God-given inherent love of music and beauty that manifests itself differently in every life. The reality is, not everyone is going to take to music naturally, and very, very few people are going to grow up to be great musicians, and that's okay. Producing musicians is not my goal, even with my own kids. I want to produce children who turn into young adults who are educated and who are able to have a love of learning and to appreciate beauty and creativity and to love singing corporately, whether it's in church or just in community events. We, as a people, we sing together a lot, for sure in the church, but you go to sporting events and people are singing together in the stands. Just that's something that humans do for creating community is we sing. And if that is the outcome, if that is the goal, to produce that kind of young adult, then that is that's an attainable goal, and I think a worthy one. In my own home, we've had pretty much the same approach with all three of our kids. And by the way, it'd be really hard to find a home that has less music in it. Oh, wait, I said that backwards. It'd be hard to find a home that has more music going on. My wife, Laura, and I, we decided before we had kids that was going to be something that we valued, that we wanted our home to be filled with music. And I grew up, my parents were both music teachers. We had music playing in the house all the time. My wife grew up a completely different circumstance. She went to college having never heard a cassette tape or a CD played in her home. Her parents she couldn't remember one time ever hearing music in her home for the first 18 years of her life, which is really sad. However, in our home, she is the one doing music with our kids most of the time. I mean, I get to do it when I'm home and I love it, but having zero experience with that in her home growing up has just really taken to it, and the kids love to hear mommy sing with them, and I love that we've done that. But so anyway, with virtually no difference in how music has been used in their lives, all of our kids have respond and relate to music differently. Nate, he likes music okay. It's probably never going to be something that he pursues outside of singing in church and maybe occasionally going to a concert. Carrie has practically been obsessed with singing since she came out of the womb. She sings nonstop and begged for a piano for 2 years before I finally got one a couple months ago. And now, you know, it's the first thing she does in the morning and the first thing she does when she gets home from school. And it's the one time that, you know, it's bedtime, Carrie, you have to stop playing the piano. She just practices all the time with no encouragement or prodding from mom and dad, which is not normal, but it's awesome. I think that our youngest, Nora, is probably going to land somewhere between those. We'll see. The point is, don't worry about whether or not your child seems to have a natural affinity for music. Just commit to having music around and see what happens. And let them be themselves and kind of just you're on this journey with them. Here's another big misconception. There is nothing magical about Mozart. There was a research study in 1991 that kind of popularized this concept called the Mozart effect, that basically said that if you listen to Mozart, and that study said especially the piano concertos or something, you know, if you listen to Mozart piano concertos or if you have them playing in your nursery, then your kid's going to turn into a genius. Well, you know, kids who were babies in 1991 and listened to Mozart all the time, they're not all geniuses. I love Mozart as much as anyone. That research has been pretty thoroughly debunked. However, there is such a thing as an objective standard for evaluating music. Some music is objectively better than other music. And there is value to listening to good music and avoiding bad music. And Mozart definitely belongs in the good music camp. That's an unpopular concept these days where the conventional wisdom is that music's value is purely subjective, but I couldn't disagree with that more strongly. I taught college music appreciation classes for non-music majors for a while as an adjunct, and it's a class that was required for everybody that nobody wanted to take. And they all came into class thinking that I'm going to tell them that their preferences are wrong and that they need to like classical music more than they like whatever music they like. Well, I never said that to any student. What I did tell them is my personal music preferences are about as eclectic as you could hope to find. Here's the thing about music appreciation. The word appreciation, it comes to us from jewelers, the jewelry world. There's a better word for that that is escaping me. But it's a word that has to do with value rather than a term of preference. So when something gains in value, like pretty much any house in Spokane right now, we say that it is appreciating. When you take a diamond or other fine jewel to a jeweler, it is his job to look at it closely and to assign it a value. That is called appreciation. It takes time, training, and experience to learn how to properly appreciate jewelry, but anyone can benefit from obtaining a valuable jewel. You know, when I bought Laurie's engagement ring, I looked at a bunch of diamonds, and you know, I'd see two that, to my untrained eyes, looked the same, but one of them's a few $100 and one of them's a few $1,000. And, I can tell the difference, but the jeweler knew what to look for to determine the diamond's true worth. And so, thankfully, Laurie and I are both, our preferences are simple, and so she appreciates the small diamond that I got her, which is good because she's married to a pastor. There's nothing wrong with preferring the diamond that she's got. But if we were to say that diamond is worth more than, you know, a diamond with greater clarity and fewer impurities, that would be wrong. It's much the same way with music. There's nothing wrong with having preferences that might not actually be great music. Like I said, I have crazy eclectic tastes, and most of what's on my playlist is not ever going to be confused with great music. You can ask the people who have offices near mine. They always are making fun of me for what I listen to. That said, there's something to be gained by cultivating a taste for that which is truly valuable. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If we're to be faithful to this command, then we must seek out that which is true, good, and beautiful, including developing an appreciation of music, which is valuable. Thankfully, just like we have jewelers to help us determine the value of a good diamond, there have been a great many people way smarter than me who help us to recognize music that is truly great. And for the record, that doesn't mean old music. There's music that is old that was not great. It's not around anymore. It kind of, you know, people stopped playing it. And so, you know, a lot of older music that is still around because it's good. It's not good because it's old. And there is great music being written today that is objectively excellent. It's a little more work to sort it out because we haven't had enough time for some of the stuff that's not as good to kind of fade away. But again, this is something I could talk about all day. But for now, I've done some of the hard work for you. I created two Spotify playlists that are on the resource thing that you've got. That's a total of, I think, about 16 hours worth of music. That's a good start of stuff that is beautiful. There's an instrumental playlist and a choral playlist, and encourage you to listen to those. So, enough of my yapping about things. I want you to have some things you can walk away from today and actually do. So the first one is just sing all the time, as often as possible. Sing with your kids, sing to your kids, sing with your family, do it all together. Have your kids sing concerts for you or for their grandparents. You can start today. You can sing anything you like, but just start singing. Everybody knows some songs, and the kids are going to love to sing it. Another thing you can do, take your children to hear live music performed well. A lot of times people think that there's all these barriers to that. But in this town in particular, there are so many great opportunities to hear music live that's done with excellence, that is free and where children are welcome. So, you know, we've taken our kids to a lot of symphony concerts in the park, which the Spokane Symphony does several times, not soon, I suspect. But in the spring, that'd be something to look forward to, and definitely the summer and fall. Those concerts in the park are awesome because you can help your kids kind of get acclimated to what it's like to go hear an orchestra. And nobody cares if they are talking or coloring or if they get up and run around for a little bit. You're in a park. It's a really nice way for them to start hearing live music. Another great opportunity to hear live music is here in church. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but we have a lot of really skilled musicians who help to lead us on Sundays, and there is a lot of value for our children to be in here. It's why, as a church, we value having kids in the worship service. And I know even those of you who have kids that go to the nursery, I would love to see babies and toddlers in here during the first part of the service where we're doing the music. And I promise you, from the perspective of people up on stage, if you get up and walk around, we don't even see you. We don't notice. You're not a distraction. I love when I hear babies crying in church. It is, you know, I've been the one holding the baby who is crying, and it's terrifying. And you're like, everybody is looking at me, and I'm causing people to be distracted from worship, and I should remove my child. That's not true at all. But I know what it's like to feel that way. But you know, I'm telling you, as a pastor and as a worship leader, I love when there's kids here. And I understand kids are going to be kids. Let them be kids. But let them be kids with the church. Okay. Here's another thing you can do soon. And that is to get your child in a children's choir. And there are few things more formative than singing in a group, and children's choir is one of the greatest opportunities that you can give your child. Now, unfortunately, for now, our children's choir here at the church starts at kindergarten. We do hope at some point in the near, not too distant future, to have a preschool element to that. We're working on it. But when your kids hit kindergarten, we'd love to see them here on Wednesday nights. We have a lot of fun. We get to sing a lot. Kind of as an aside, people often ask me how early they should start their child on a musical instrument. And my answer is always that their voice is an instrument and the first and most important to be developed. There's also great value in learning another instrument. or two or three. So when's a good time to start and on what instrument? Well, that just varies greatly depending on the child. I've seen kids have great success starting piano at age 4 or violin at age 2, but I think those are the exceptions and not something that I would say is normative, not something that you should feel like you have to emulate. I ran a music school in Tennessee for 12 years, and with the exception of a few individual students, we didn't see a whole lot of benefit to kids starting that early over kids that start later and work really hard. By the time they're in middle or high school, if they're hard workers, they're gonna reach the same level for the most part. Which is not to say that if you start younger, you're not gonna see any benefit at all. I just don't want people to feel guilty that they've waited too long. Our son Nate, he's 10. He just started the cello this year, and he's doing really well with it. Carrie is 8, and is, you know, she's taken off with the piano. I didn't start playing an instrument until I was 12. But I did start singing in children's choir when I was 3, and that choral background really kind of set me up to succeed when I started in middle school. I was ready to go. Okay, last thing, listen to music constantly. Between YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, and even ancient technology like CDs, we have a lot of different ways that we can have music anytime we want it. And so I think it's really good to fill your home with music, fill your cars with music as you're driving around. Variety is good, but try to give the most prominent space to music that is objectively great. So like I said, there's this playlist I'm giving you that'll get you started, but I encourage you to cultivate your own list. You're going to hear things like, ooh, I want my kids to hear this. Well, you can put it on a playlist. If it helps, here is, you know, like I said, I'm always happy to give suggestions. Here's how Laura and I use Pandora more than Spotify in our house. And we, less so now that the kids are all in school, but when they were all home, we had several different Pandora stations that we, you know, because Laura is like, what do we listen to? I don't know where to start. And so, well, let's just, you know, what time of day it is tells you what kind of music you're going to listen to. So we had Wake Up Worship, which was more kind of contemporary Christian type stuff. We had Morning Bluegrass. We had Tea Time Classics that they would sometimes morning, sometimes after lunch, but we'd take a tea break and listen to some classical music. We had Afternoon Worship, which was mostly hymns, ancient, modern. We had Evening Swing that we listened to pretty much every night at dinner. And then weekends were for pop and rock. And I did carefully cultivate those lists to make sure that it's only, we don't want any surprises on coming up on the radio, but we made those work so they're clean music. So obviously that's just a super quick overview, but I think we're about out of time. Let me just quickly show you what's on this handout that I get. Yours is this size. So I put just a few albums that I like for that we listen to a lot with our kids. These are all worship albums that are geared specifically for little kids. You can find all of those on Spotify or YouTube for free. Some scripture song resources. Jumpstart 3, that's what we listened to earlier. That's what we're using a lot with our kids on Wednesday nights now. There's about 150 verses that he's written so far. Seeds Family Worship is another one that's really good. The guy who has a ministry called Slugs and Bugs, and he's got a group of CDs called Sing the Bible that are scripture songs. There's also an album called Underwear that is about underwear. So some of his stuff is not singing the Bible, but it's funny. Some teaching tools, New City Catechism. A catechism is just a way of teaching things through a format of question and answer. So there's 52 questions that are designed to teach one a week. There's a free app on the web or on mobile devices that has songs that you can use to help learn these. The Praise Factory is a curriculum that's designed more for preschool classrooms, but there's a lot of, on the Praise Factory website, there's a lot of resources for parents to use at home. Classical Conversations is something that our family did in Tennessee that has a everything is set to music. You don't have to be a part of a CC community to use the songs. My kids especially like the skip counting songs, just to help them learn math facts. And you can find most of those for free online, or there's an app that you can get them all. That is just a great tool to learn. And then the last thing, those playlists that I talked about. There's one I called Kid Friendly Classics, trying to find things that are beautiful but accessible. And then the choral music playlist. These are things that they're not going to be intrusive if you just have them playing while it's nap time or doing the dishes or whatnot. And it's just a good place to start. That is all that I have. I don't know if you have something to say or if we do questions, or we're out of time, but I'll still be here if you have questions.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.